will do miracles, and God will. That's the whole thing. As we keep on praying, as we keep on sowing the seed, God will water it and it will flourish and things will happen. People will be affected. Right, one other way of praying, that's one way, out loud, using your imagination, using, you know, your senses if you like. But also, what I want you to do is to pray in the scripture. So in other words, I want you to get your Bible and I want you to get into twos in a minute. And in, with your partner, what I want you to do, in twos, what I want you to do is to get a particular scripture. Ask God for a scripture for your partner, for the person you're going to be in twos with. And ask God to give you something from the Bible that you can pray into their life. Do you understand what I mean by that? For instance, take a prayer from scripture. Say, for instance, Ephesians. Let's look up Ephesians. If you've got your Bibles with you, look up Ephesians 3. And I'll show you exactly what I mean. Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 19. This is a prayer that Paul prayed. And then he wrote it down. And he says here, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to show this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, if I was to pray this prayer, say, into Suze, I would say, Suze was my partner, I would be praying, God, I pray that Suze, out of the glorious riches that you have, you may strengthen Suze with power through your Spirit in her inner being. And that, God, you may dwell in Suze's heart through faith. And I pray that Suze, being rooted and established in love, you know what I mean? You get what I'm coming at? You just take the prayer of Paul and make it applicable to the person. So what you're doing is you're praying scripture into the person that's your partner. Do you understand? Yeah? Now, there's loads of prayers in the Bible, loads of them. And you can look up any one of them and choose any one of them. And of course, the Psalms are all full of prayers, aren't they, as well? There's lots of scriptures that have prayers in it. So what I want you to do is just to take a few seconds on your own. I want you to think, okay, what prayer should I pray for the person that's sitting next to me? And get into your twos and then begin to pray that prayer into the person. Do you understand? Any questions? No? So get into twos first of all, then pray individually, asking God what prayer you should use, and then pray that prayer. Once you get what you have to pray into the next person, then pray that prayer out loud into them. Tell them where it's taken from and pray it into them. All right? Any questions? Okay, go for it then. Great to get the scripture prayed into our beings, into our hearts, into our minds. It's so good. I hope you've enjoyed the exercises we've done today. I'm going to leave the exercises there because there's a few other things I want to say, just a couple of other things I want to say before we finish. But there's lots of other exercises you can do. Bible study, prayer walks, all sorts of different things. And they're all written in the book. If you want to get the book at the end, you can do so. Or indeed, if you want to order the new book, which is going to be out in September, but it's the copies I'm going to get are going to be in August. So if you want to order that, pay for it now, we will send it to you free of charge, so you can do that, not free of charge of the book, but free of charge for postage and packaging, so you can get it at the end with Suze. But it's just basically a book that you can work through. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it's basically, you know, like Rosemary Connolly has a hip and thigh diet book, you know, or a tum and bum diet book, or if it's not Rosemary Connolly, there's lots of other ones as well. But it basically gives you a plan that you can work through so that you can get trim, so you can get fit, so that you can, you know, be the kind of size that you want to be, if you like. And what I've done in my book is based it on kind of like a Rosemary Connolly book, except it's not fitness. It's actually spiritual fitness. It's not physical fitness, but spiritual fitness. It gives you lots of different exercises that you can do half an hour per day, and that's split into like 3 10-minute slots type thing that you can work through day by day. And I tell you, if you do that, I think it's 3 months in there in this particular book. There's more in the new one. But if it's 3 months of working through, you know, what God has given you in different exercises, etc., you will be a changed person at the end of it. There's no doubt about it. I have that. Not because it's my book, but because it's, you're working in God's book. Do you understand? It's all to do with what God wants to do in you. You'll be a changed person if you do it, because God has got you in a place where He can speak to you. That's very, very exciting. But I want to finish just by saying a few things, just a couple of things that I believe God wants to say to us as a group of people today, and specifically for us, that I believe very, very importantly, number one, God wants to use us. There's not one person in this room that can sit there and say, oh, well, God can't use me. I've got no talent. I've got nothing I can give. Every single one of us, God can use you and use you mightily. You know, I spoke about Smith Wigglesworth, and I spoke about some of the amazing things that Smith Wigglesworth saw in his life. But listen, let me tell you, he was an ordinary man. Do you understand? Ordinary person from up north in Bradford, as I said. Ordinary person. And yet God used him. And if God can use Smith Wigglesworth in ways that just blows your mind, I tell you, God can use you. It's just getting past the barriers that we've put up around ourselves that tells us we can't do that. Do you understand? Smith Wigglesworth, let me tell you one more story before I finish with Smith Wigglesworth. But Smith Wigglesworth, I heard this story just recently from a lady who knew Smith Wigglesworth and used to listen to his teachings quite a lot. She knew him in terms of personal friendship with him. And this particular lady told me this story, and I think this is incredible. He was walking down a street one day. Remember what I told you about a 24-hour relationship with God, speaking to God no matter where you are. And so walking down the street, he was just talking to God, and God said to him, see that door over there? And he said, yeah. He said, I want you to go up to that door, and I want you to lift the letterbox from that door, and I want you to shout through the letterbox that I'm real and I'm alive. Just shout it with all your might. Well, Smith Wigglesworth said, God, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Can't do that. And he walked on, you know, further few steps towards, you know, down the road kind of thing, not yet past the door. But as he walked down the street, God said, I want you to go over to that door right now, and I want you to open the letterbox, and I want you to shout down that letterbox that I'm real, that I'm alive, and I can change someone's life. And Smith Wigglesworth said, God, honestly, I just can't do it. And so he walked past the house. The minute he walked past the house, conviction fell. And he just thought, okay, God, I'll do it, you know, because he knew that to walk any further, it would be disobedience to God. And so he got back into the place where the house was. He walked up the little garden path, opened the letterbox, and shouted with all his might, John 3:16, you know, the whole scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And he shouted it the top of his voice, put the letterbox back down, and wandered off down the street thinking, I feel an absolute fool, you know. I don't know what all that was about, God. When this person came running out of the house, looked up and down the street, there was only Smith Wigglesworth in the street, so he came running after him, and he said, tell me something, did you just shout through my letterbox? And Smith Wigglesworth said, yes, I did. He says, well, he said, I just want you to know my story. He said, I was in the house ready to hang myself. ready to commit suicide. I had put my head round the noose and I was ready to kick away the box. He says, and I thought to myself, nobody in the world cares. He said, and this voice came through my letterbox, for God so loved the world. He said, tell me, does God really love me? And he became a Christian, gave his life to Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Think what would have happened if he hadn't obeyed God. So important in our lives, isn't it? Yes, God can use us, but it depends on us being obedient. And it's so important that when you hear the voice of God, when you hear what God is saying to you, that you obey him, no matter how crazy it might seem. And sometimes when God says something to you, it seems absolutely crazy. God, are you really meaning me to do such and such? But you know something? What does it matter if you act an absolute fool? What does it matter if you get it wrong? What does it matter? Because if you get it right, like Smith Wigglesworth did, then in actual fact, you could save someone's life. Save their eternal life, which is even more important. God can use you. You know, I remember going to a place years ago when I was in the band Heartbeat. We went to a place, in fact, I think it was Northampton, and we did some missions there. And at the end of the week, what we did was we invited several schools to come to an end of the week concert. And we told them in schools that we were Christians, that we believed in God. And if you wanted to come along on Friday night, we would actually tell you how to come into a friendship with God. And we gave out tickets and all the rest of it. And at the end of the week, the place was packed with non-Christians. Absolutely packed. So much so that the Christians had to get out and leave, you know, that type of way. It was packed with people from schools. And loads of people became Christians that night. But I want to tell you about 10 of them. 10 of them came from one particular school. And they got so fired up about God that they said, we want to let our friends know about God as well. So what they did was, on the Monday when they went back into school, they asked the only Christian teacher in the school, would you help us set up a Christian union? And the teacher said she would. And they started their Christian union. Just the 10 of them praying, God, do something. Impact our school. Come and move them. God, what you've done in my life, would you do in my friend's life? And they started praying every day before school started. And then they discovered that actually that's not long enough. So what we'll do is we'll pray when school ends as well. And so they prayed after school. So they prayed in the morning and they prayed in the afternoon. And then they thought, that's not enough either. So what we'll do is we'll pray at lunchtime as well. 3 times a day they were praying for their school, praying for their friends. Do you know what happened? A year later, there was 200 people in the Christian Union. God had impacted a school because of 10 young people who got so fired up for Jesus that they said, we want our friends to find out more about it. Do you understand? You've got to get the fire of God in your heart and life so that when God says something to you, you say, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Even if it seems crazy to you, even if it seems impossible to you, and I'm sure to them it seemed impossible to affect a school. And yet there they were, 10 of them impacted, 200 of them coming to the Christian Union. It's possible, do you understand? It's possible for God to do the miraculous. You know, I told you earlier about my little son, AJ, who's got, you know, real prophecies over his life that he's going to be an evangelist. I have no doubt in my mind that's what he'll be. Our babysitter, who was a Christian, but it was quite funny because she came one night and she said, you know, putting little AJ to bed. She was babysitting on that particular night. And he turned around just as she was leaving the door and said, have you got Jesus in your heart? And she said, yes, I have. He said, I've got Jesus in my heart. And you know, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? A simple message. Have you got Jesus in your heart? Because I've got Jesus in my heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Simple message. 4-year-old could do it. Let's face it. And if a 4-year-old could do it, can we not do it? God's with us. You know, we moved into a new house just about, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago or something like that, Ray and I and our son. And we thought to ourselves, we've never been able to impact our neighbours because we've been too shy to kind of like go to their house and introduce ourselves to them. So when we moved to this new neighbourhood, there was like, I think it's 11 houses, yeah, 11 houses that were all brand new houses. And Ray and I were about the fourth or so household to move in. So we decided, right, this time we are going to get to know our neighbours. This time we're going to go and introduce ourselves to our neighbours as they come in. And so that's what we did. And anyone that came in with a, you know, a new family moved in, we would go to their house, we would knock the door and say, great to have you in the neighbourhood, just want to introduce myself to you. I'm Nancy Gowdy, and here's a little present for you. And I gave them, I don't know what it was, a bottle of wine or whatever it happened to be. You know, here is something, box of chocolate, something that is for you. And they were just knocked away by it, you know. When it came to the Christmas time, everyone had moved in by then. When it came to Christmas, we decided that we would hold like a cheese and wine party type thing at our house. And so we put out invitations, we prayed over them and said, God, bring them to their house. And we, you know, we prayed for every single household to come. And every single household came. And there was we didn't mention anything about God. We didn't mention anything about Christmas. But all we did was we built relationship. Do you know, all our neighbours now know one another, you know, and in and out of other people's houses when they wouldn't have done normally. Not only that, but every year we have a street barbecue type thing where all the houses get together. And on top of that, you know, we started to communicate with one another. What do you do? Well, I mean, what do you do? It's a fantastic opportunity for me to say what I do, you know, and just to put it over in a way that they will understand. And then, of course, I told you about our Missions and Arts Centre that we've just opened up in the area. So we thought, great, great opportunity. Let's invite our neighbours to our open day where we can tell them, you know, how God provided the money, how it all came into being and how it happened. And so we were invited all the local dignitaries to it, the mayor and all the rest of it came. And we also invited all our neighbours, not just us, but other people as well, invited in NGM, invited their neighbours to come to it. And I think it was about five households out of the 10, because we have the 11th obviously, five households came to the open day, and several of the others were so disappointed they couldn't make it. One particular household, well, every one of them thoroughly enjoyed it, which was great. But one particular household, a lady named Gloria, she couldn't come to the one that her husband was at. And so she stopped me in the street and said, my husband says it's absolutely fantastic. If you ever have another one, could you please invite me? So I said, oh, don't worry, we'll invite you to it. We'll be having it again. We had it again. I invited her to come. She brought her, I think it was two of her sons, came along to the open day. She said, oh, I'm knocked away by it. She said, I'm just so impressed. She said, I wonder if my other sons could come to another open day. I said, well, we're having one tomorrow. Now, the one on the Friday was specifically geared to people who don't know Jesus. But the one on the Saturday was the church people. Do you know what I mean? It was like praying, it was prophesying, it was going for it in worship, everything. So I kind of said, yes, you could come tomorrow. I said, but let me explain. I said, tomorrow is really our church supporters that are coming tomorrow. So, I mean, if you do come, it'd be slightly different to today. But just similar, very similar, but maybe slightly different, you know. So no problem, that'll be fine. So I'm like praying like mad, you know, God, I hope she understands all that's going to happen. Anyway, she came along with one of her other sons. One of them couldn't make it. She came along, she said, do you know something, Nancy? I enjoyed today even better than I enjoyed yesterday. And I thoroughly enjoyed yesterday, you know. God was beginning to impact her life. Ray spoke to her and she said, do you know, Ray, I've got so many hurts inside me. So many things going wrong within my life and have gone wrong, I've hidden over the years, and they just need to come out. Well, somebody who's just ripe for the gospel, she's considering coming to my weekends in January and February, which is absolutely fantastic. Not only that, but she said to me, look, my other son is so sorry that he's missed it. Is there anything else he could come to? And I said, well, every couple of months we have something in the area called The Gathering, which we invite all, you know, local people to come to as well. Basically, it's an evangelistic setup. And so I said, so, I mean, it's really for kind of like, you know, 12 through to about, well, it's really 16 through to about 30 age group. But, you know, all ages come to it. But if your son wanted to come, I'll put it, give you some notices of when the dates are. Oh, that would be great. But please, only invite my son if I'm invited as well. You know, the hunger in people's hearts to get to know God, and yet they don't know it. And what I would never have known it, it would have been easy for Ray and I to sit in our house, to do our own thing, not to get to know our neighbours, not to do anything about the friendships that could have come along and have come along. Do you understand? But thinking to myself, well, my ministry's out there somewhere, when in actual fact God's saying, your ministry's right where you are. And that's so important for all of us. Listen, God can use you. But sometimes we put restrictions round ourselves. We put barriers round ourselves. And we say, we can't do that. You know, it's all right for Nancy Gowdy, or it's all right for whoever, but it's not me, you know. Not me. Listen, I could say that as well. Smith Wigglesworth could have said that as well. Do you understand? We all could have said that. But God is saying, if you step out and you obey me and you go for it in me, I will do amazing things through you. It's true. There's a verse I want to leave with you. And this is the verse. It says, it's John 10:10. Basically says this, I have come to give you life and life to the full. God hasn't come to give us a small portion of life. He's come to give us a vast quantity of life. And if we believe it and have that life flourishing and moving within us, we will automatically affect other people that we meet. We will automatically affect people that, you know, see us in the street. It will be the very smell of who we are will permeate, because the smell of God will be on us. Do you understand? I have come to bring you, give you life, and give you life to the full. Do not restrict what God wants to do with you. When my husband and I were praying specifically for today, I usually go walks when I pray with God. And I was going a walk one day and he decided to join me. I said, that's fine, as long as you don't mind praying for Saturday, because I'm going around and one of the things I want to pray for is Saturday. And he said, oh, it's fine. So he prayed with me. And one of the things he got was this next picture. And it might be for one of you, it might be for some of you, whatever. But let me give you a... Ray felt... he got a picture of a zoo, actually. And he saw caged animals in a zoo. And he felt that God was saying that sometimes we put restrictions around ourselves. Sometimes restrictions are put around us from other people or other situations, whatever. And he felt God say the word freedom. And it's almost like God opening the cage and saying, live in your natural habitat. Live where you were supposed to live. He wants you roaming free in Christ, and not restricted by what the norm is. Do you understand what I mean by that? Not restricted by what you think is the norm, or what other people think is the norm, but what God wants you to do. He felt God saying, there is no restrictions on you. He has not put a cage round about you. But if a cage has been put there, it's been put there by you, or by other people putting it on your life. And God today wants to free you. I have come to bring you life, and to bring you life to the full. That's God's word for each one of us. And I just want to go, hallelujah, you know. We have the best life we could ever have. Do you know, my husband said to me the other day there, do you know, I never want to work for anyone else other than God. God is amazing. I never want to, you know, be outside God's will, because being right in the centre of God's will is so exciting. And it is. Isn't it? Just to be right where God is, just to be right where God is saying, you know, I want, this is where I want you to be, is absolutely fantastic. Now, that's not to say that when problems or difficulties come along, it really floors you. Of course it does. The things that hit our lives that we have to deal with. But you know something? I'd much rather deal with it with God than not have God. Eh? Absolutely. Because you see, remember what I was saying at the beginning? The rough pathways, the mountains in front of us. If we're spiritually fit, in tune with God, those mountains, yes, they'll be difficult to get over, but they'll be a lot easier if you're spiritually fit. And we need to be people who are saying to God, God, whatever you say, God, I will do. Wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. I will yield to your spirit, because God, I want to be possessed by your spirit. I want to be controlled by your spirit. I want to go your way, God. And if you do, and if you have a hunger for God's word, you know, remember the thing I said about spirit and the truth? Hunger for God's word. You know, and if you haven't got a hunger for God's word, can I say to you, pray a simple prayer. I pray it as many times as I possibly can, is God, make me hungry for you and for your word. That's my prayer, constant prayer. God, make me hungry. Make me hungry. Make me more hungry than I've ever been before. Because God, I want to be able to, you know, get into your word forever. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is my greatest desire, to get into God's word, to read his word, to have communion with him, to fellowship with him. That is the most fantastic thing to do, and the most brilliant place to be. So let's go for it in God. If you can imagine 10 people in Northampton can affect 200, just imagine what the 50 in here could do today. You could have revival here. Goodness me, you could. Do you believe it? You know, God wants to use you and do amazing things through you. Let's pray, and then I'm going to ask Suze if she'll come and sing, and then we'll hand back to Paul. Father, I thank you that your word to this group of people is freedom. Your word is that you want to bring life and you want to bring it to the full. And God, I just pray that over them right now. I speak the word freedom, 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 freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom. God, open those cages. Anybody that's put restrictions around them, open it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray they will step out of cages. They will step out of barriers. They will step out of problems. They will step out of difficulties. And God, that they will move in you, and that they will trust you and believe you for whatever it is that they're going to have to believe you for. God, do it, I pray. Lord, thank you that you want to bring life. And you want to bring it to the full. And God, I pray that you will give them abundant life right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for each person here, that each one would receive your life. That each one, Lord, would receive it in abundance. And that, God, they would find that as they go out of this place, the very smell on their being would be different, because they would be smelling of the fragrance of Christ. And Lord, I pray that as they go into the areas that they're going back to, into their homes, into their, you know, schools, into their colleges, into their workplace, whatever it happens to be, God, that, Lord, you would affect those places. God, affect them with your smell. Affect them with your light, Lord. Affect them with who you are. And I pray that everyone here would remember that God is amazing, that you are incredible, and that, Lord, you will work through them. Simple things, simple ways, and yet you'll do it. God, I pray, I release this people, Lord, right now, to be themselves in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that over them they will experience more of you and more of freedom in their hearts and in their lives in the years, in the months, in the years to come, Lord. I pray this, and I pray that revival, God, that stirring and awakening will happen in this place, God, because people got together with you, because people started praying, because people started believing, because people said, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. So God, do it, I pray. Let's see that if I come back here in a year's time, God, that this place would be different because of what you've done. God, we ask this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Susan.